We'll also have a look ahead to Ireland's World Cup opener against Scotland as well in the early hours of tomorrow morning. So plenty to come between now and 7 o'clock right here on the Big Red Bench. We'll go down straight to Páirc Uaireanta though. Because Newtown Shandrum and Glen Rovers are going head-to-head. It's a very close battle at the moment, Kieran O'Regan.
Yeah, very close. 41 minutes gone here. It's 10 points apiece. It's really a shootout between Jamie Coughlin and Pa Horgan, really. Newtown probably relying on Jamie Coughlin a bit too much, whereas Glen not relying on Pa Horgan that much, but he's doing all their scoring. Another wide for Newtown there. There's been a number of wides. A lot of rain here. Probably not helping matters. The ball's slipping sliding an awful lot. Newtown could have had a goal earlier on, actually, just before half-time, super save from the Glen keeper, Kyle Hickey. There was a free at the Glen Rovers dugout, which would be the Blackrock end. It was hit in from Matty Ryan. Hit in, seemed to bypass everybody in the big square and just dropped in front of the goalkeeper, and he tipped it away off the line. A fantastic save, went out for 6 yards. Newtown through here, number 14. But that's all. He's dropped the ball. It's gone for a shot. It's saved off the line by Glen Rovers keeper. Absolutely fantastic save again from Kyle Hickey. The Glen Rovers keeper pulling off a fantastic save there from Conor Griffin from Newtown. Denying absolutely a bullet. It's gone over 65 here now, but real championship hurling war in fairness. Really lively game. Lots of yellows. A lot of players will be watching their, well, not watching their backs, but they'll have to be a bit careful. Because there has been a number of yellows, but a great game so far. Oh, he's given a free. It's not a 65. He must be given the advantage. Nathan Wall from the Ballincollig club here. So Tim O'Mahony just standing over this, and that will go over the bar. It does, yeah. So Newtown take the 11 points to 10. 42 minutes gone here, but a very exciting encounter despite the torrential rain here.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Kieran. I'm watching the game here on TV in the studio. I'm looking out the window behind me here. It looks like a dirty, horrible, rotten winter's evening, which obviously isn't great for hurling, but the player's making the most of it.
Yeah, sorry, Rory, I lost you there. But yeah, like I'm sure you have the aircon, the heating on the studio there, but it is pretty miserable down here in that park you're in. The rain, it did ease off at half time, but it seems to come back out when the second half started again. It can't be easy for players, you know, the hand slipping on the hurleys, and the ball is skidding a lot more than it would normally. There was definitely a ball that could have bounced maybe into the goal. If it was dry, it might have bounced a bit better, but it slid off because of the rain. Another wide for Glen Rovers here now, but yeah, it has to be having an effect. It's certainly going to have an effect in the second game because the pitch will be so wet. But it is a fantastic game so far. Just well, it could be better without the rain, but sure, yeah. What can you do, you know?
Indeed. We'll go back to Derek Kieran in a little bit for an update there at the full time whistle, but certainly a very close battle there between Newtown Shandrum and Glen Rovers. I'll keep you up to date on that one. That's going to be followed by the meeting of county champions in Mulcahy. They're taking on Sarsfield. 6:45 is the start time for that game there in the Senior Football Championship. Glen Rovers facing Eustacetown in Roscarbery this evening, and the latest score from there at half time, Eustacetown leading by 6-4. In the Premier Intermediate Football Championship, Kanturk have beaten Kilnamartra 3-8-13, a 4-point win there for Kanturk. A doubleheader in Clodagh as well, Mitchelstown facing Adrigal in the Intermediate Football Championship relegation playoff. They are level after 38 minutes. Mitchelstown 9 points, Adrigal 1-6. Elsewhere in the Junior A Hurling Championship, Clyde Rovers and Kilbree going head to head. Victory for Kilbree 118-110 was how that finished. Newtown Shandrum now leading 11 points to 10. 43 minutes gone on the clock there. In Camogie, St. Catherine's meeting in Ascara today in Castle Road in their quarter final. Latest score from there, it's into the second half. In fact, it's half time whistle has just gone out, beg your pardon. And Ascara leading 110-1-2. In the Ladies Football Senior Championship, St. Val's and Mournabbey going head to head in Bishopstown this afternoon. And the latest score we have from there, it's Mournabbey with a comfortable lead. 4-9-1-2 is the score we have from there. Elsewhere, Kilkenny searching for a new under-20 hurling manager after DJ Carey opted to step down from the role. The Cats legend had been in charge for two seasons and led them to a Leinster title. This summer they were beaten though by Cork in the All-Ireland semi-finals. In the Premier League, and the evening kick-off, scoreless between Newcastle United and Brighton, 35 minutes on the clock. But what a result from Manchester City today, Darren Stanage.
Watford nil, a highest ever Premier League score for Manchester City. They scored 5 goals in the opening 20 minutes. David Silva set the tone. Aguero fired home a penalty. Maris hit home a deflected free kick. Bernardo Silva nodded home the 4th and Otamendi the 5th. After the break, more of the same. Bernardo Silva scored twice to get his hat-trick. And with 8 minutes to play, Kevin De Bruyne in on the act, collecting the ball and firing into the top corner. Manchester City 8, Watford nil.
And that Kevin De Bruyne goal was absolutely class as well. This is City boss Pep Guardiola.
When you shoot the first 5 shoots in target, the 5 goals, so what can I say? So the quality of the players that we have up in front make the difference. It's not because in the same time, in the first minutes, we gave them 2 chances to score 2 goals, and they didn't.
The conditions in Park Erin are horrendous. The rain is teeming down. Kieran has just tweeted there to say that it's actually hard to see across the pitch. Looking at it on TV, you can see what he means. But it is Newtown Shandon lead, 11 points to 10. And we will, of course, keep you up to date on that one. But 46 minutes there now on the clock. Burnley meanwhile have beaten Norwich today. Adam Drury.
Burnley strolled to a 2-0 win over a Norwich side who has served a cold dose of reality. Chris Wood opened the scoring with a near post header 10 minutes in, and just 4 minutes later Wood fired in a second from close range. From there the Clarets expertly managed the game at the back and truly nerfed the expansive football of Norwich to secure their first win since the opening day of the season, while simultaneously knocking the Canaries from their perch. Full time at Turf Moor, it finished Burnley 2, Norwich 0.
Sheffield United beating Everton today at Goodison Park. Paul Anthony.
Everton 0, Sheffield United 2. Everton will be wondering how they didn't win this game at a canter. In the first half they had numerous chances to put the game out of reach of the visitors, but against the run of play it was Sheffield United who took the lead when Yeremina deflected Oliver Norwood's corner into his own goal 4 minutes before the break. In the second half the home team pushed for the equaliser. They almost got it when Tucson found himself 1-on-1 with Henderson in the Sheffield goal, but his shot went wide, and minutes later the visitors doubled the lead. Mousset on as a sub, took the ball around Pickford before slotting into an empty net. First win for the season at Sheffield United here at Goodison Park. It finished Everton 0, Sheffield United 2.
And Cork's John Egan at the heart of that Sheffield United defence today. Leicester City have come from behind to be Tottenham 2-1. Derek Clark.
Full time, Leicester City 2, Tottenham 1. The hosts battle back to take all 3 points in an engrossing game here. Harry Kane had fired Spurs ahead on 29 minutes when he somehow managed to get his shot away despite falling to the ground. Ricardo equalised for the Foxes on 69 minutes before James Maddison popped up with a winner on 85 minutes when he unleashed a stunning right foot strike into the bottom corner. VAR ruled out goals for both sides, but as the Foxes held on for a famous victory, it finished Leicester 2, Spurs 1.
Leicester boss Brendan Rodgers says he's very happy with the performance of his players.
They were so good. They brought a real emotion to the game, real aggression to the game. The crowd were incredible for us. And then everything that happened in the game, goals going for you, against you, changing shape. Tactically, they were so good, and we deserved the 3 points.
Spurs boss Mauricio Pochettino says he's confident the fortunes will change after a poor start to the season.
I trust in my player and the squad, and for sure we are going to improve. I am happy with the performance today, and I think that team is more close to be like a Palace, and we need to improve, and of course we are going to work hard to try to improve.
And in the evening kickoff in the 5:30 game, which is about 35 minutes, 40 minutes almost, gone at this stage. It's a Newcastle scoreless with Brighton after 37 minutes. We'll go back down to Porky Rin where the rain is teeming down, but Newtown Shandon putting some more scores on the board, Kieran.
They certainly have, and the rain certainly has got actually worse since you were talking to me. But Glen Rovers have just got a goal through David Cunningham, a fantastic goal hit off the ground. Great bit of skill there. The ball dropped, it's because of the weather, they couldn't get it up, and he just turned around and hit it on the ground and gave James Bowles in the Newtown goal no chance whatsoever. Fantastic, well taken goal, but it's level out. Newtown had worked very hard to get that 3-point lead, and the Glen have just eaten back into that. There's 10 minutes left. This game could be a draw. There's 10 minutes left, so we won't just jinx it yet, but it's Newtown Shandon with 13 points, Glen Rovers 1 goal and 10. And I must be said, God, Licky, since I was speaking to you again, pull off another miraculous save, a fantastic save as well. So that's 3 so far. Certainly should be getting man of the match today so far, but Glen Rovers having another shot at goal, but a lot of the balls are kind of going short here, Roar. I don't know, it's, they can't get a good grip on the hurley or something. you can't blame him for that either, to be fair. But it's a fantastic game so far. Real championship pace, but that goal from David Conlon was just sublime off the. He just turned. I don't know, was even looking at the goals, but just turned, hit on the ground and went into the far corner. Fantastic goal to level the game here in Parky Red.
All right, Kieran, thanks for that. Looks absolutely miserable. Miserable down there. I'm actually glad I'm stuck in my nice warm cosy studio. We'll get you a full time report on that one in just a bit. Elsewhere today in football, Cove Ramblers play their final game of the season tonight. They're at home to Longford Town. That's in St. Comas Park. 7:45 the start time for that one. In the Munster Senior League, Avondale United winning 4-2 away to UCC at the Farm today. Cork City Women's meanwhile away to DLR Waves. That kicks off at 7 p.m. In rugby, defending champions New Zealand have gotten their Rugby World Cup campaign off to a winning start. They've beaten South Africa today 23-13 in that massive Pool B clash. Elsewhere, Australia avoided a scare. They came from behind to defeat Fiji 39-21, while France narrowly defeated Argentina 23-21. The South American side missing a penalty with the last kick of the game, practically. So a win there for France today. Of course, Ireland in action tomorrow against Scotland. And the about 8:45, that game kicks off. Ireland winner Jacob Stockdale confident that Jordan Larmour and Andrew Comyn have slotted him well against the Scots. Larmour is in a fullback for his injured Leinster teammate Rob Kearney. Andrew Comyn is in for Keith Earls on the wing. Stockdale says both players have plenty of big game experience already.
Have, you know, kind of Rob and Rosie, the back three with their kind of experience, but like, I mean, you know, Andrew Conway and Jordan have played a lot of rugby for Ireland, and I've played a fair bit of rugby with them, and they're both really exciting players to get to play with. Like, you know, they're the kind of guys that are going to want to, you know, run onto the ball and attack, which is, as a winger, very exciting.
Elsewhere today, Rory McIlroy says he has a faint hope of winning the BMW PGA Championship tomorrow. The world number 2, 6 under par after a third down at 65 today. He's 9 shots behind the leaders Danny Willett and John Rahm. McIlroy says he'll concentrate on shooting another low round tomorrow.
If I'm 5 back or 7 back or 10 back, you know, my mindset's the same. I just got to go out and shoot a good score tomorrow. And you know, I was never thinking about winning this tournament after the first day anyway. So, you know, I guess to put myself in a position where it's at least a faint hope, it's a good thing.
That was Rory McIlroy there speaking after today's third round of the BMW PGA Championship. He says he's a faint hope of winning after shooting a 600 par round of 65 today. He's 9 shots behind leaders Danny Willett and John Rahm. The Open Champion Shane Lowry's 4 under par heading into the final round with Patrick Harrington on 4 over. Elsewhere in rugby today, Munster were beaten by Connacht in a challenge game, 40-31. And in motorsports, Ferrari's Charles Leclerc has taken pole position for tomorrow's Singapore Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton will be alongside him on the front row. Penalty now for Glen Rovers. We might go back to Kieran and get a brief update on that one. They're just waiting to take it. But it is a penalty for Glen Rovers. 52 minutes on the clock. This is a big moment in this game. A penalty is up. It has been struck and it has been saved by the Newtown Shandrum goalkeeper. So it remains Newtown Shandrum 13 points. Glen Rovers 1-10. And Kieran, that wasn't the best of penalties, was it?
Probably not. I think, to be fair, the rain might have made the hurley a bit slippy. It wasn't a great penalty. It was down low into the ground, kind of, but there was no bounce in it because of the ground is so wet, and it just went in front of James Bowles. He dropped down and did save it off the line, in fairness to him, and he cleared the ball out. Ball went up the other end, but Newtown failed to score from it. It's gone back down the other end, and Glen Rovers have got a score from it. Pat Horgan just putting the ball over between the two posts, so they now take the lead 111-13 points. 5 minutes left. That could be a psychological advantage for them, because this game is so nip and tuck. The ball is very hard to get with the rain. Hold on to it is what I should say. But Newtown on the attack again. That's number 20. That's Paul O'Sullivan who has it, and it just goes straight over the sideline. So it's a Glen Rovers line ball here. But the rain teeming down, it seems to be getting worse every time you come to me. It's certainly going to have an effect on the next game between the McKillie and Sars. But this is a fantastic game. taking into account the weather conditions, but that penalty really would have put daylight between the two sides, and if they had got it, you wouldn't have seen Newtown coming back, I don't think, because they had worked so hard to get the 3-point advantage before Glenn got the first goal through David Cunningham. But it certainly was a penalty. David Cunningham was held up inside the square, and Nathan Wall gave the penalty. Glenn have got another point now here again. They've gone 2 points clear with 4.5 minutes left. That was number 13, Conor Doyle. So it does look like Glenn could hold on here. Newtown will, they look at the board and, you know, they either need a goal or 2 points to come back even into this. Glenn Rovers have it again. That's number 10, Dean Brosnan. He's running through. He should put it over. He passed it to Hoggy. Hoggy drops it, loses possession. Newtown have it. They're going to come out with this. Matty Ryan passes it off. This is going to go down the field and it could be dispossessed. Will it? No, it's not. Newtown have it. It's passed from number 22 over. He's blocked. And the ball dropped again. The weather is having a huge effect here so far, Roar. The ball is half hit out. It's gone to Newtown to Jerry Lane. He's hit it in. It's gone into the square. Newtown has missed. No, he didn't catch it. It's gone out to the wide. Got out far wide, I should say. So there's a 2 point to it. Split over is 112. Newtown 13 points. Not a whole pile of time left in this. It could go down to the wire, but the rain having a huge effect here.
Yes, thanks for that, Kieran. We'll come back to you there for a full-time report on that one, but it looks like it's certainly going Glenn Rovers' way. Going to hear briefly from our Cork City boss, Neil Fenn, a nil-all draw with Finn Harps last night in what was, to be honest, a very, very poor game of football between the sides. Very low on entertainment. Missed penalty for Cork City as well. Conor McCormack stepping up to take a second half penalty, hit it straight at the Finn Harps keeper. So it finished scoreless. It remains 7 points clear of Finn Harps in that relegation, ahead of Finn Harps, who are in that relegation playoff spot at the moment. City should be safe, but I asked Neil Fenn, I do beg your pardon, last night how disappointed he was with the result.
Obviously lots of possession and some good elements, just lacking that final the final part of the game, which is the hardest part of the game, is putting the ball in the net.
And the big talking point, I suppose, is Conor McCormack's penalty miss. Was he a designated penalty taker, or was that just decided?
He was confident he was going to take it, so that's fine. And listen, you know, penalty misses, you can blame people, but just the keeper saved it. So, you know, it wasn't the best struck penalty I've seen, but there you go.
And overall, I suppose the lack of clear-cut chances must be massively disappointing.
Very disappointing. I felt that we lacked a little bit of belief, I would call it, in the final third, and a little bit of confidence in the final third. Apart from that, I felt that we knew it was going to be a night where they were going to sit in and they were going to, you know, play for free kicks and long throws. We knew that, and that's exactly what happened. It was just how were we going to score? It was going to be with a little bit of quality and someone opening them up a little bit, and unfortunately we couldn't do that.
Our result keeps you 7 points clear, Harps. Is that kind of safe from the relegation threat now, or is it?
No, I don't think so. I think that if we won tonight, I would have been confident, but I still think that we've got five very difficult games coming up, so certainly not safe.
Yeah, you're away for the next few weeks now, aren't you, Neil? Tough games, you just said.
Very tough, yeah. Derry away, obviously, is a difficult game. So, you know, I feel it's a different type of game. Obviously, they're going to come out and play, and it'll be totally different from tonight. But, you know, we need to be better in the final third. And I feel that some players are just a little bit playing in themselves, scared to make a mistake, maybe, especially at home.
Yeah, what's been the most disappointing kind of feature since you've taken over the job, Neil?
I suppose that the lack of clear-cut chances, the lack of somebody getting the game by the scruff of the neck, in the final third and making something happen. I think probably not frustrating, but you know, sometimes you as a manager, you are looking for that to happen for you in a tight game like that. Someone needs to get hold of the game and make something happen, and we're just lacking that at the moment.
Do you think the team kind of lacks a bit of leadership?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that there's plenty of lads in there that have won stuff, and there's plenty of good lads, good characters in the dressing room. It's just when you are at the bottom of the table and when you're scrapping and things are not going well for you, then you know some players might go back into their shell a little bit. I think if you look at the league table, obviously they're underperforming. Are they underperforming for me? I think they're probably, you know, the lads I expect to be doing a little bit more. I think they're doing okay. Obviously, we're not winning and we need to win, but it's just, you know, it's a frustration because we need a little bit of extra quality in a final third. Need something to happen.
Did you think, Neil, that like with the 2 week break since the Dundalk game, that there'd be a better performance from the team? Yeah, we had more of a chance to work with them.
No, I was expecting the game to be similar to how it was. It was going to be frustrating at times because you're not going to open them up every single time you go forward. So you have to be patient. But when you do open them up, then you have to really show that little bit of quality. Put the right delivery into the box, pick the right option, and we didn't do that enough. And that was the frustrating part.
And what's the prognosis on Gary? He got
a kick on a nerve, so he had an injection at half time, but we're not sure. I'm not sure how long he'll be out for with that.
Just as you mentioned, it was a frustrating night. So is that because as well that you had a chance to confirm your safety for next season as well?
Yeah. That is a frustration. Obviously, you know, we would like to put that. It still wouldn't have been mathematically, I don't think, but that would have certainly put the little bit of breathing space, a little bit of daylight. They've got some difficult fixtures as well, so you couldn't see them winning all of their last games. So certainly that is a frustration. But yeah, there was a lot of things frustrating about the night, but also a few good performances as well that I'm not totally downhearted on it.
It's now here on a winless run at home now since goes back to the 10th of May. So.
Yeah, that's not good because, you know, as I said before, Turner's Cross is a fortress and teams shouldn't come here and get anything out of it really. And you know, they probably, on the balance of things, it take away the penalty, they probably deserve their draw tonight.
Is that your strongest team, Neil? Do you think the team you start with tonight? Do you think that's the strongest side you could start with?
Yeah, I think so. That was probably maybe Ronan Hurley would come into the reckoning for a starting spot. Josh Honohan would be pushing for a starting spot, but he's unavailable to us. So those two would be the lads that I would say would be pushing for a starting spot. The rest is what we have.
And is Kevin O'Connor injured yet?
Yeah, Kevin O'Connor's injured. Yeah.
And how long is he likely to go for?
He's got a bit of a freak injury. He took a hit to the arm against Galway and hit a nerve, and he's just in pain, and once the pain stops he'll be fine, but he's still unable to do much.
Okay. Neil, do you see it now with so few games remaining and the pressure you speak about, which comes from scrapping at the bottom, realistically you can't reinvent the wheel in what's left of this season, can you?
Yeah.
I mean, is it really about looking to next season, surviving and getting through these games, and then really looking to rebuild from the start of next season?
Yeah, I mean, I was brought into the club to plan for, you know, see us through this season and plan for next season. But that's fine. But you know, you still want to win as a manager. You want to win matches, and you're not happy just drawing and losing games. So I want to win. So yeah, the plan was, you know, plan for next season, see the season out, and then plan for next season. But at the moment, you know, we need a win from somewhere, so that's the plan at the moment.
Yeah, it's Cork City boss Neil Fenn there speaking after last night's nil-all draw with Finn Harps, which wasn't the best of games, and that is putting it very, very mildly indeed. In the ladies' senior football championship, Moran Abbey have beaten St Val's 4-13-4-4, a 9-point win there for Moran Abbey. And in the senior football championship, Billen Rovers and Newcestown going head to head, and the latest score from there is Newcestown are leading by 10 points to 4 in the last couple of minutes there. And it's almost time up in Porky Rin, where it's very, very close, Ciarán.
Oh my God, Roar, I've been so down the phone for the last minute there. The drama here is something else. Newtown constantly pushing for this last point to draw the game. They've had a couple of opportunities, it's just dropped short. They almost had a goal opportunity there but couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. There was 4 minutes signalling. Referee Nathan Vaughan has just blown the full time whistle. It's finished. Glen Rovers 1-12, Newtown Chandram 14 points. It's a 1-point win for Glen Rovers here, and an absolutely titanic battle in Park Erin. The rain seems to have stopped, but it was going for the entire game here. A fantastic game between two great hurling sides, but it's Glen who will go through to the semi-finals to meet Carrick Tool. Now, in the next 2 weeks. I think it is next week or two anyway. But a fantastic battle here in Park Urine, and Glenn really put out Newtown there in the last few minutes, Rory, and stopped them getting that just last vital score to level this game.
All right, Kieran, sounded like an absolute cracker. I'll let you go off and get some Glenn Rovers reaction. Might get that by the end of the show. Thanks for that, Kieran.
Cheers, Or.
Yeah, it's Kieran O'Regan there. Sounded like a very intense and entertaining game down in Porky Room, but it's Glen Rovers 112, Newtown Shandrum 14 points, a 1 point win for the Glen. Also at last night's match, Colm O'Sullivan spoke to City legend George O'Callaghan about their nil-all draw with Finn Harps.
Frustrating night. They never really got going. You know, I know they missed the penalty, maybe the game would have changed if that went in. But even looking at the first half, you know, it was very sluggish. I think some of the players look like they don't even want the ball. They're making runs for the sake of it, you know. And I think when you, I've been in football for 20 years, and when you see that and you can see what the players are doing, like, and I wouldn't blame the manager, because they've had three managers this year and they're still doing the same thing. So I think, you know, some of the players, especially the experienced players, really need to look at themselves now. And, you know, football is a harsh business, and if people play like that and continue like that, then it always catches you out, you know. So I think a lot of those lads in the change really need to have a good look at themselves.
Managers have come in for stick this season. I mean, John Caulfield obviously got sacked. John Cotter was here. He moved on. Neil Fenn is here now. But as you say, the players and the results have been the same under three managers. So maybe the managers aren't the problem.
Yeah, well, that's where I would say, because, you know, I've really had a really good interest in it this year. And tonight for me, you know, I look at players like, and I don't pick people out, but Griffin is a lot better than that, you know. And I actually spoke to him last Saturday and I said it to him, you know. I think Gary Buckley, because I think the way the team has changed and the shape and the ways they're playing now, he's not going to get in the second balls in the boxes, and there's more football, and maybe that role doesn't suit him anymore. Maybe he needs to be a bit deeper, you know. And there's a lot there with the older lads. They really just need to pick their games up, you know, and drag the younger players around for them. But it's just really lacking leadership for me, what it looks like from the outside.
And again tonight, as been evidence in every game nearly this season, it didn't look like we had anyone who was ever likely to score a goal, George.
No, we don't. But there's a massive gap between the striker and the midfield as well. You can tell by the game. And I think if you watch the first half, the two full backs for Finn Harps were playing out wide, so there was plenty of space to get the quality balls into Mark. Just simple 20-yard balls, you know. But they're obviously, their confidence is at rock bottom at the minute. So it's like evaporated in the whole club. So that's a difficult thing to get as well. And, you know, Finney has a big challenge on his hands. But as I said to you before the game, with the four games that he has played, he's going to learn more about that than he would if he won the four, because now he'll see what he has and the players he has and what he can do. So he just needs to keep going, and I'm sure Finney will turn around. And Finney's a really clever guy as well, and he knows his football, and Finney will see what everyone else is seeing. And you know, and I think, as I said before, the game is up to the players to put on a performance and get the crowds behind them, and if they can't do that, then you know, they're going to be replaced.
Finney's had a tough start, three defeats and a bad draw here tonight as well against Finn Harps. But I mean, as you say, maybe it gives him an assessment of what he needs to do, what he needs to change ahead of next season. The draw tonight hopefully will keep Cork City safe. They're still 7 points ahead of Finn Harps. That will hopefully be enough to keep Cork City in the Premier Division. Do you think there's any danger of relegation, George, or should we be okay?
No, I don't think there'll be no fear of the relegation, you know. And you know what? Cork City are definitely going to nick another couple of points or win before the end of the season. Obviously, it would have been great tonight, because if they won tonight, it probably would have been, you know, done and dusted. But regarding, like, as we get back, like, to Finney will know what he has to do, you know, and he's been put in a really difficult situation. I know the board got a lot of hassle and a lot of grief for bringing him in so late and wondering why with so many little games, but I think it's actually proven really good now that he's actually got to see it, because if he came in pre-season and dealt with these players, then he'd be back where in square one. So I think the positives is just get to the end of the season and let Finney rebuild the team and the club, and just bring back the football that we want to see and get the results that we want to see.
He might sign you up, George, would he?
Well, I'm more than willing if he wants to give me a contract.
You could have done a job there on the pitch tonight, judging by your performance in Benno's game the other day. But I mean, that's the kind of thing they need, is creative players like yourself, like Neil Fenn himself. We saw John O'Flynn on the pitch last week. They need to bring back those kind of guys, if we can find guys who are like those kind of players, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is. And you're watching the game tonight, if you had a Fenny that could just sit in the number 10 role and hold the ball and bring players into play, and you know, Marky Sull isn't that, you know. Marky's all in behind and he needs a player like that, and they just got to get recruitment. And my biggest thing with Cork City for the last couple of years is that the recruitment has been completely terrible. You know, the players they brought in haven't been good enough. I think it's been a bit lazy, really. You're going around looking amongst the senior league players, you know. You got to look abroad, you got to look every possibility to bring in those players to build up even the local lads and the local boys that are coming through the under 8 or the under 20s. All those lads need lads they need to look up to, and if you play lads that come back from England and say abroad, those players do help you, you know. So it's something that they really, really need to look into with the recruitment, because for me the recruitment has probably been the biggest problem at the club.
Like, players coming back from England has always been a really strong thing for Cork City, going back to the times yourself and John O'Flynn when he came back, other players in that era. In more recent times, Shawny Maguire, I suppose, came back to Ireland after having a spell and things as well. So, like, I mean, it's those kind of players that we need, and those kind of guys need to be found, and they're definitely out there somewhere, surely.
You need players that want to get back or want to keep their career going, you know. I think you can bring players back and they get comfortable. I see a lot of the lads, they'll all be in Ecos having dinner Tuesday with each other, or Wednesday, and it's about social media. The boys really need to find players that are hungry. I think when I played in our team, certainly you had Joe Gamble, you had Flinney, you had Kearney, you had Kevin Doyle. We all want to be better than each other every Friday night on the pitch. Like, I didn't really see that tonight, you know, because when I used to go out and play on a Friday night, I was like, I have to be better than Gamble today, I have to be better than Flinney today. That's what you need, those players, not competition, but
competition amongst your own teammates, yeah. Really, isn't it?
And still have a really good team spirit and everyone going in the one direction for each other. But if you're coming back and you're just happy out, just sitting on your contracts and playing the odd game and you're injured every now and again, it's not going to work. And it doesn't work in professional football anymore anyway, because you get found out. But that's what they need. They need hungry players to come back that really want to succeed in their careers again.
A lot of players are out of contract. Most of the players are out of contract by the time the season is over. So do you think that that Fenn is going to have a bit of a clear out? Like,
it's not a good time to ask me that, because I've got rid of a whole lot of them today. but Fenny will have a big he has big decisions to make. He has to bring in his own players, and if the boys haven't done it, they still have another 5 games left, you know. And I know he is really, really frustrated with a lot of them. So I was hoping tonight, you know, to put on a performance, maybe get a 2 or 3 nil win, and you know, things would be feeling better. But you know, it just hasn't happened. And Fenny will bring in his players. I know Fenny. Fenny's been in the business a long time. He's a really shrewd character, and Fenny will do what he has to do for himself.
Just finally, George, from your own perspective, are you enjoying being back at Turners Cross this season? You have your young fella Rocky with you as well, and are you enjoying being back?
Yeah, it's great, and it's brilliant, and you know, especially now when I have my son that can come watch the games with us.
Yeah, it's George O'Callaghan there speaking after last night's 0-0 draw with Finn Harps, and certainly not holding back there is George following that draw on that poor performance last night for Cork City. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a bit.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
All right, folks, glad you joined us for the Big Red Bench. Full-time score from the Cork County Senior Football Championship quarter-final. Newcestown Town have beaten Inland Rovers 10-4. If you haven't heard, Glen Rovers have beaten Newtown Shandrum by a single point. So it finished Glen Rovers 1-12, Newtown Shandrum 14 points. So a fantastic win indeed for Glen Rovers in that game. Kieran, very excited about that game and thoroughly enjoyed it, and sounded like a cracker despite the conditions. So great one from the Glen. We'll get a reaction from them in just a little bit. In the ladies senior semi-final, Moran Abbey have beaten St. Fals 4-13-4-4. In the Camogie quarter-final, in Ascara and St. Catherine's going head-to-head. It's in Ascara who lead there 1-12-2-4, 13 minutes gone in the second half. In the Intermediate Football Championship relegation playoff, it has finished Mitchelstown 2-14, Dragol 1-11. And in the Premier League, in the evening kickoff, Newcastle and Brighton are going head to head, scoreless there after 50 minutes. Alright, we are going to talk Gaelic games, hopefully get reaction from the Glen Rovers camp before we get out of here at 7 o'clock. But Ballinascarty and St James Contesti Carbery Junior A Football Championship final tomorrow in Tymaleague. Ballinascarty have already claimed the Junior A hurling championship title. They'll be hoping to do the double. Well, it's been a while since St. James's have lifted the title. Kieran spoke to Carbery secretary Donal McCarthy ahead of the game.
A great game to look forward to, and I suppose like the Benincroft Junior A football championship, right, when we set out this year we had 21 teams starting off, and we're down now to Ballinascarty and St. James's in the final. No, I suppose nobody anticipated that it would be Ballinascarty and St. James's. And I suppose you'll have history made in Tymaleague next Sunday evening. Ballinascarty are going for the double, which wasn't achieved in Carbery since 1988 by Newcestown. And St. James are going for their very first Junior Football Championship in Carbery.
They had good enough passages to the final. Ballinascarty having a good win over Kilmacabee there, actually, in the quarter final as well.
That's right, Ciarán, but in actual fact, Benlascar, they were defeated in round one by St. Mary's in a great game in Benlascar and Benlacarriga on the score of 2-10 to 10 points. But they got their act together then in round two, where they defeated O'Mahoneless comprehensively. And then in round three, they went on and defeated Bendon on the score of 114 to 6 points. Mm. But I suppose the real shock result was in the quarter final when they defeated Kinnakerby, who had won the Cavalry Championship with the past 2 years, right, on the score of 111 to 13 points. Now, it was a goal in injury time, but look, I think Benlascarty are a team, actually, that I suppose they had been junior A football with the last 40 years. They had been there, actually, when I suppose Clonakilty was the only senior football team in Carbery, and the likes of Donnies, Bendon, Newcestown always found it very hard to beat Benlascarty. They have great tradition.
Yeah. You know? And St. James's, they've had about a month waiting for the final to be played. So are they waiting in the long grass?
Yeah, St. James have waited 5 weeks, but I suppose, St. James were founded, I suppose, 1892 now. Ironically, they won the County Junior B Hurling Championship in 2005, and they ended up Junior A Hurling. The same year, 2005, they were defeated by Dripsing. Right,
yeah,
in the County Junior B Football Championship, and they've been up actually Junior A football since, and they have accounted for themselves reasonably well. Every year in the Calvary Baylor Division 1 Football League, St. James would always be in the top five,
right?
So, like, you know, so yeah. Like they treat the games very good, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they treat it very good, like, you know,
yeah.
So,
and like the competition has been okay. We're talking September now. It started on the 7th of April. It's been was a spread out enough competition this year. It's the last of the divisional finals.
Yeah, it's the last of the divisional finals. But I suppose, like, when you look at it, like, you know, you have so many teams involved in hurling as well, like, you know, and like Benlascarty, who have already won the junior hurling, like, they were involved all the way right up to last Sunday week. Mm. They played the semi-final last week against Cavalry Rangers. No, they defeated Cavalry Rangers by a point. And, you know, like, I think next Sunday, like, that if St. James get a start on Benlascarty, they could be in a bit of trouble, you know?
Yeah. It's been played down in Timoney Gargadine Rangers GA Club.
That's right, Ciarán. It has been played down in Timoney in Argadine Rangers GA Club, and I suppose we have at half-time. Argadine Rangers won the Calgary Junior Football in 1994. We're honouring them 25 years ago. Also, I suppose, like, when we're looking at next Sunday, St. James, I suppose, like, they created their own shock as well when they defeated Troy McCrory, actually, in the quarter-final on a score of 3-6 to 14 points.
Yeah.
In that game, actually, they scored 2 goals in the first 8 minutes, and I suppose Ty McCorrick found it very hard to recover after that, you know?
Yeah. I think I see, correct me if I'm wrong, St. James's were celebrating possibly a hurling win recently as well. I could be wrong on that, but I thought I saw on their Facebook page they were celebrating some win anyway.
They're doing fantastic work with Andreas St. James.
Yeah.
No. Like, it is a small community, and now they had problems over the past number of years fielding at minor and under 16 level, but they seem to have got rid of that problem now, and they're under 8 level, under 12 and under 14, and now coming into under 16 next year should be actually going very well. So, like, you know, it is great to see the community and the community aspect in both clubs. They're two rural-based clubs. And again, as I said, no matter who wins, right, there'll be that bit of history created next Sunday in Timoney.
Yeah, and look, lastly, Donal, like the hurling final, expecting a big crowd tomorrow in Timoney for the football final.
Oh, we're expecting a big crowd tomorrow, like 5:30. No, there's 2 county board games on in Dunmanmore, right, at intermediate and prim intermediate football. But I still think, like, that the community around St. James and Benlascarty will be all out in force. And I suppose I'd like to thank again Tim O'Sullivan of Cash Awards for his sponsorship of the Man of the Match for the final on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Donal McCarthy, Secretary of Carbery GA, thanks very much for joining us on the bench, and best luck at the final tomorrow.
Thanks very much, Kieran, and thanks always for Radio FM and the Big Red Binge. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome indeed. That's Carberry Secretary Donal McCarthy speaking ahead of Ballinskeith and St James meeting in the Carberry Junior A Football Championship final tomorrow in Tim O'League. All right, from Glen Rovers boss Richie Kelleher following that dramatic 1-point win over Newtown Shandrum. Kieran's been chatting to him.
Serious battle there.
Yeah, it was, and I just think the second half, often I said in their heads, the old thing, we're playing with a bit of a gale, we're going to win the match for us, and we got sucked into hitting the ball. We put Patrick in for forward to start the second half, and we hit the ball over his head for 10-15 minutes, which was ridiculous. And then we got the first proper ball we got in, we got a goal off it, and we got another ball in shortly after, we got a penalty off it. Like, what do fellas be thinking when they have the wind? The wind doesn't hit the ball over the bar, you still have to strike it over or put into play. We just lost our way second half. How many times we hit the ball, we went in our own half back line centre field, hit the ball into their centre back, standing all alone for 20 minutes. We kind of lost the plot, but look, we won, we'll take it. We still have a lot to work on. We've had a bit of troubles the last 3 or 4 weeks, a couple of injuries, we lost a couple of matches, it's been a bit of a battle, but look, we won tonight and we will take that all day long.
Newtown put on serious pressure towards the end, but she seemed to
I think they had the energy, they had plenty of youth in their legs, and they were able to move and they were able to run, and they caught us, and it was a wet miserable night. The young eager fellas they didn't care, our fellas knew what was at stake. I think it suited them, but I don't know how we won. We took over in the second half, we got on top, we got probably, wouldn't say lucky goal, but because David Cunningham first, and he stuck it in the back of the net, but you'll have to come to Newtown. I thought they were tremendous with the young fellas that they had that played, the energy and they cut off us. Yeah. You have to admire that, and you would feel sorry for them because they went down fighting.
Listen, there was 1 point in it in the end, but the man that probably kept you in it is the goalkeeper.
Yeah, but look, he's been doing that for a long time, and he's been going over injury already for the last 2-3 or 4 weeks. Even this morning he was injured worse this morning. He hurt his wrist, and we played a match last week, he made a great save, fell down his wrist, hurt it again, he was in trouble this morning. At lunchtime he was fine, then again this evening before the match started he was in trouble again, and of course he wanted to play. We had a chat with him. Like, I wouldn't say we don't believe fitness tests. You talk to fellow 1-to-1, you know how he's talking, how he's feeling, and he wanted to play and he knew that he'd be fine. And look, the saves he made, he does it all the time for us, and he's just tremendous, Kyle.
Yeah,
but looking at that and not billing us, Carrick Tool up or knocking us down on that performance, we'll be very, very vulnerable. And I think people judge us on what we did 3 or 4 years ago. We're a different team. We've injected a lot of youth into the team. We're still carrying a couple of old legs, but you need that. We're not the Glen Rovers that were there 3 or 4 years ago. We'd love to be, but we're not. But we know we're still good enough to win matches, but we need to be a lot more smarter. Hurling tonight was a way off. We did some stupid things which cannot happen in hurling because you'll be punished before you go.
Well, which was the conditions a factor?
In the first half, not so much. There was a bit of a breeze that would have picked up in the second half, and then the rain came. The rain was example being Patrick's penalty. Like, everyone here, probably going to stick it. Yeah. I said to the lads, this is a dodgy one, a heavy ball, wet ground, anything's possible here. And the goalie made a great save. The best he could do is hit it where he wants to go and hit it, but it's not going to go there because the ball's going to swivel, it's going to swerve. It's just really, really hard. It's only hitting hope. You fellas getting balls from 20, 30 yards, so couldn't even reach the goal at times, and that says it all.
It was a dogfight, wasn't it?
It was, but look, that's our second owner of a dogfight below Mallinghan's Chav, another dogfight. So you'll be very happy with the heart and the spirit and the determination and the drive to win. And like, you get Steve McDonald, you'll come back to his best tonight. He was really, really good. But it's just our skill and our hurling brain is a bit off. We're doing stupid things, and we will be punished if we don't sort that out.
Yeah, that's Richie Kelleher there, the Glen Rovers boss, speaking after their dramatic narrow win over Newtown Shandrum in the Senior Hurling Championship. Up next for them is Carrick Tool. Imokilly and Sarsfield is just about to get underway. Horrible, horrible conditions again down in Porkroom. We'll get an update from Kieran O'Regan in just a couple of minutes there on that one. But it doesn't look like it's going to be an easy evening for hurling, as Richie was mentioning there, at the second half particular of that Glen Rovers Newtown game. Started bucketing down, and Richie was saying their fellas couldn't even reach the goal from 30 yards. It was that kind of weather. It was terrible. But should be a good game here now. Say Mokilly, the county champions, look to book their place in the semi-final, but Sarsfield certainly won't let them have it all their own way. All right, going to talk to our Reblog now, who've launched a brand new skills challenge in the last couple of days. They want clubs to get involved. The concept is an idea from football coordinator Conor Coonahan. Ciarán's been speaking to Cork GAA games manager Kevin O'Callaghan about the idea.
Yeah, I suppose, Ciarán, look, we're very excited about it. It's a new venture for us. Going into actually competitive skills competitions in Cork isn't something we're doing on a regular basis, so we're excited to get the initiative off the ground. I suppose Conor Coonahan, as the new football project manager, came to me a couple of weeks ago with this idea that, look, we've always been talking over and back about how maybe our kicking proficiency in Cork isn't where we'd like it to be across, I suppose, all levels of the game, really. And I suppose Cork has been, you know, even in Conor's time, has been synonymous with maybe the running game has been more effective for us. So, look, we're just trying to put strategies in place to improve the overall kicking skill levels of the game in Cork. So we came up with this idea of running a skills formalised skills competition. We've opened it up to under 12, 13 and 14 players, club players across the county. So we'd be looking to put a big emphasis on the clubs to actually run internal competitions in their club with those age groups and put forward then the three top scorers from each of those age groups from their club teams into a divisional competition. So we're using the existing divisional regions to run off finals and then follow up with the eight winners out of those regions coming to county finals afterwards. Like, you know, so it's something that we're very excited about, to be honest. I think that if clubs embrace it, which we're encouraging them to do, I think that the boys will see where they're at. They're being challenged to kick off left and right foot. They have five kicks off each foot in a hook kick formation. So we're looking forward to be honest, now to get going.
There's savage work being put into this, it seems, because it's not something you can put together overnight either, this concept.
No, I suppose there's been a lot of meetings and to-ing and fro-ing, and I suppose James McCarthy, or GDA, and Football Development Squad Coordinator deserves a special mention here as well, because he's played a big part in it. And look, I suppose over a couple of weeks we've tried it out on the ground and come back and reviewed it and tailored it. And I suppose the idea here is that it's accessible to all clubs, and it's not I suppose it's not a competition that's going to take extensive time. It's designed to be done quick. There's minimum set up on it, really. So it's designed to be quick and can be done or maybe during a training session or an especially convened session to do the skills test in clubs. So we're encouraging all the club coaches to get out in the field over the next week or so and get the competition done. And I suppose it's a good guide for the club coach as well, because he can see, right, you know, I suppose we're always rushing in the game and trying to get the outcomes in the games to win, and we'll do it by whatever means, and we don't probably reflect maybe on, right, where are we at in terms of our skill levels. But I suppose this gives the coach an opportunity to press pause and to see, right, where are my players in relation to their kicking skills off both feet, and maybe they can tailor their training programs to improve those skills where they find deficits maybe over the next couple of months, you know. So it's a win-win situation, I think, for everybody concerned.
Yeah, you mentioned that Conor Coonahan came with this idea. I think if you spoke to the minor football management and others, Conor Coonan's having a pretty big influence since he's gone into the position he's in now.
He is, for sure. To be honest, Jay, he's working very, very hard, and I suppose he's linking up the various units. So he's working at senior level right through down to this level now with these skill tests that are starting at under 12. So he's having an enormous impact, and I suppose he's a great sounding board for us as well in terms of where we're going with our policies to develop the game in Cork. So yeah, definitely very beneficial. He's working very hard, and he's networking, and he's linking up with post-primary schools as well, and just trying to build the Cork GAA football family, I suppose, more than anything at the minute, you know. So it's very positive.
Yeah, and look, I know the event hasn't been run yet, but if it proves to be successful, is something that could be expanded to hurling maybe down the line?
Yeah, that's the plan. We're doing the pilot with the football for now, and maybe next year, if it works well and we're happy with it, definitely the plan is that we'd put something in place for hurling as well, and that we'd have both of them open to clubs for next year, you know. So yeah, that's the plan.
And look, lastly, Kevin, for people who might be interested, where can I get more information?
So you can log on to GAA Cork.ie, you can log on to RebelOakCoaching.com, or Cork GAA Coaching Twitter account also. We're putting up videos now on a daily basis to promote the event. So the tests themselves are available, the rules are all there. And as well as that, I suppose for club coaches that might be listening to the programme, it's also gone out to your club secretaries as well. They also have details, so they can get the information there.
Listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that's Cork GAA Games Manager Kevin O'Callaghan speaking about the brand new Skills Challenge that Reblog have launched. Get more information on the Reblog website, reblog.ie. Sarsfields have got a point up on Imokilly, just one score in the opening 4.5 minutes. Daniel Kearney it was with the point there for Sarsfields. In fact, Sarsfields just got a second point as well, so they lead the county champions Imokilly by 2 points to no score, 5 minutes on the clock there. All right, going to look ahead to tomorrow morning as Ireland take on Scotland in their Rugby World Cup Pool A opener in Yokohama. Andrew Conway and Jordan Lammer starting in the back three. Only 7 of the match day 23 have previously played at a World Cup. Rory Best is captaining the team for the 35th time. Joe Schmidt feels Scotland will be out to disrupt their normal game plan.
We've been planning this for a long time. And when you get the opportunity to put it into practice, it still has to be put into practice accurately. And one of the things that gets in the way of that is the amount of pressure the opposition can put on you. And I've no doubt that both teams will be trying to put pressure on each other so that whatever they have got planned isn't quite as effective as they'd hoped.
Meanwhile, Schmidt's opposite number, Gregor Townsend, says his squad are in peak physical condition ahead of the game. Ireland, though, have won 7 of the last 9 meetings between the sides. But Townsend is hoping his team will be able to finish strongly in Yokohama tomorrow morning.
We pride ourselves on finishing games strongly, which we tend to do. Against Ireland, maybe that's a bit different, in that we've started better. We know Ireland always starts strong, so to be in the game at half-time, to be ahead in the game at half-time, will put more added pressure on them. So our goal is to start strong, finish stronger.
Kick off, of course, tomorrow morning, 8:45. Captain Roy Best says they are well prepared.
Boys are well used to playing in big games, and this is just one to look forward to, and one to put yourself now mentally. A lot of the physical work's done. Mentally now, put yourself in the best position to produce the best performance for your country.
Looking forward to that one. 8:45 is the kick-off time for that one. Fingers crossed we'll be talking about an Ireland win on tomorrow evening's show. We'll have analysis from our good friend, former Irish international Moss Finn, on the show tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. 7 minutes gone now in Páirc Rinn, and it's still Sarsfields leading Imokilly by 2 points to no score. Looking to book their place in the semi-final. Glen Rovers did it already against Newtown Shandrum. Not exactly high scoring at the moment, Kieran, in Páirc Rinn.
No, because would you believe, Roar, the rain has decided to return for this game. It stopped for halftime, first game stopped in between the two games, but it's back again for this. There's 8 minutes gone, and Sarsfields are on top. It's 2 points to no score. And Imokilly a small bit lost at the moment. There's a lot of balls being hit into Sars men who are unmarked and having free goals. There could be a red card here. There's after happening off the ball, he pulled straight across him. Sars man, if you bear with me, Roar, there could be a red card here. It looked like a red card, a foul, but yeah. Anyway, there's nine minutes gone. It's a red card, yellow card. It's a yellow card for number 9. That's Daniel Kearney, a lucky yellow card there as well. But Sars 2 points. And Imokilly no score. There's 9 minutes gone here. That possibly could have been a red card, and really change this game so far. The Imokilly man's still down, but we're just watching replays here. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what effect that has on the rest of the game. But it could have been a red, and Sars could have been down to 14 players. But so far, it's Sars who are kind of on top. 9 minutes gone, it's Sars 2 points, Imokilly no score.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Kieran. We'll have reaction coming up on the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6 p.m. You can follow the updates on our Twitter at Big Red Bench. We're out of time. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way on this cold, blustery, wintry Saturday evening. Hope wherever you are, you're warm and you're cosy, and you're not out in the rain like you're on there this evening, bringing you all the best from Páirc Rinn. All right, we're back tomorrow from 6. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, and fingers crossed, Ireland get the win tomorrow.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.